ages 5 through 10. They'll be waiting for you immediately following the service today. Make sure you pick them up right after service. Amen. We love our children. Last week, as I was in the service, of course, last week, if you were here, you know that last week that the Spirit of God moved a different direction, and I did not preach last week as the altar time ran, and we just, God's Spirit moved us in a different direction, and that's good. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit just to direct us a different way, and sometimes we have a schedule, and we have an outline and things we want to get done, but no outline, no schedule ever comes ahead of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and in our midst. And as we yielded to that, and I didn't speak last week, and on the way home, I had my 7-year-old boy and my 9-year-old son in the car, and they looked at me and said, "Dad, that was a great message today you spoke." I didn't know how to take that. I didn't know if they meant, "Dad, you did a good job exhorting the day," or, "Dad, because you didn't preach, it was great." I'm not sure which one it was. I still haven't figured it out. I'm just afraid to ask them because, you know, I probably would know their answer. But anyway, they said, "Dad, you did a great job of speaking today." Well, how many are ready to receive God's word? Are you ready to receive God's word? Are you ready to receive God's word? Amen. Is your heart ready? Today we are just ready to receive God's word. Before we do that, I want to share a praise report with you. A little this over a year ago, last January, we set out to purchase some sound equipment and some things that we needed for our church, the instruments that are up here, the majority of them, all the sound equipment, all the microphones, and we set out to do this, and we took up a first-time offering, and then we took pledges for the rest of the year, and our goal was to have the thing paid off in 1 year. And of course, little did we know at that time that we were going to be moving to a building on Easter and we're going to need all this equipment. And even when we moved into the building, we had to pick up some additional things, about another $7,000 worth of sound, video, and lighting that we needed to complete what we had already. And so we had about $25,000 worth of an investment in things of the sound equipment, the video, the lighting, and the instruments that are up here today. And this week, we paid our last payment. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Yes. And so we thank God. That's worth giving God victory for right there. You mean you can be a new church with no money and still be growing and pay off $25,000 in debt? Yes, you can. Yes, you can as we put God first today. And it's amazing as we look back, as I interviewed and talked to the people who own this building, and we were talking about leasing. I went to them and said, "This is what we can afford to get into, and by faith we can get to where you want us to be." And so I just prayed about it, and God gave us a plan. And I gave them some numbers that would allow us to prorate our rent up until February of this year. And I just believed in February this year that we would grow in number and grow in offerings that would support where they want us to be. And so we had asked them to do that. And so how many know that February is here and we paid off our sound equipment, but our rent also goes up this month. And so it's all a big trade-off, I know. But, you know, how many know that God has a plan? Isn't it amazing how God has a plan? If we will pray and say, "God, would you give me the numbers? God, you give me the timing?" And it's exactly to the month of the things, the changes take place and what we can do. God knows what we have need of. But if I just look by faith, if I just look in my eyes and say, "God, we can only do this and we got to stay here until something things happen." Sometimes God moves you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes when God's asking you to change, that he makes you see things in faith and you say, "All right, God, I'm seeing a place that's full by February. I see a place that's able to support where we're at by February," but, you know, that's a step of faith. And as we step out in faith, God has been faithful to meet our needs. May that be a faith builder in our congregation, Destiny Church, and knowing in the future, as we continue to listen to God, to where he is taking us and where he wants us to go, that nothing is impossible to our God. And nothing is impossible to those who believe, that when we come together and we do our very best, that God makes up the difference. And what seems impossible to man becomes possible to God. And today, as we sit here in this building and see where God has brought us from in about 21 months, we realize and say that all things are possible to God. Can we just stop and give God a praise? Father, we thank you today, Jesus. Yes, just begin to praise him. Lord, we thank you today, God, that you are a faithful God. And Lord, you've been faithful to Destiny Church, Lord. You've been faithful to us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you to God, the best is still yet to come. We believe that, God, the best is still yet to come. That, God, you have called us to make an impact in this community, Father, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray today that, God, you would continue to allow us, position us, God, in our hearts, in our spirit, Lord, to have a place of influence, Lord, in this community, and a place, Lord, of impact with the love of Jesus Christ. And we thank you today, God, for faithful givers. We thank you today, God, that when we didn't have it, Lord, and didn't seem like it was going to be there, that, God, you always, Lord, you always come through for us. And God, you always seem to do what we cannot do on our own. And Father, we thank you by faith today. And we thank you, Lord, and thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in our midst. And people of God say, amen. Amen. Well, today, as we continue in our series on change, how many are continue to let this thing process? And some of you are saying, man, part seven, Pastor, this is coming a long series. Now, you're right, because how many know change is not always easy? We can't change in three sermons. It takes a while when we're talking about change that we got to allow this thing to sink in and continue to allow the Holy Spirit to chip away at our heart and to soften our heart to what he's wanting us to do. And today I want to talk to you about the balance. We've been talking about a lot of things here, and I want to bring the balance to this series. This message really brings a balance to what I want us to hear today and letting God change us. Part seven is this part, God's part and my part. How many know God has a part, but I also have a part in changing? God's part and my part in changing me. We're going to be reading out Philippians 2, 12 and 13 today. But let me ask you this question. What would you like to change in your life? What would you like to change in your life? When I was growing up, I heard that word a lot, that Jesus changes me. Jesus changed my life. And I always want to ask that, how? How does Jesus change your life? Because I'm not seeing anything different coming out of your life. I have people say, Jesus changed me. So how does Jesus change me? That's the question we have to ask. How does Jesus change me? There's a lot of confusing advice today that talks about how Jesus changes you. Some say, just wait on the Lord. Or if it's up to me, it's up to me, it's going to happen because I make it happen. Or it's going to be all God. How do we change? I remember when I was younger, I'd be praying at the altar and I'd have one saying on one side and one saying on the other side, and one would be telling, let go, let go. And the other one saying, hold on, hold on. So what is it, let go or hold on? What's my part and what's God's part in changing me? Let's get into the scripture and look at this scripture today. And Paul talked about this in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And he says it this way, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Circle the word there, or write down the word work out and work in. Work out and work in. Work out is your part, and work in is God's part. See, we are working out what God is working in us. It's up to us to work out what God is doing inside of us. It's up to us to work through the things that God is working in us. This doesn't say work for, okay? This makes it very clear. We're not working for our salvation. It's just to work out your salvation. Because it's not of works that any man should boast, according to Scripture. We're not saved by our works. It's not a work thing. But we are called to work out what God is working in us. God is wanting to change us, and he's speaking to things in your life to change. His Spirit is coming to bring change in your life, and he is working in you. And it's up to you to begin to work that out. God, you are speaking a word in my life. God, you are telling me I need to change some areas of my life. God, you are compelling me to start doing this and stop doing that, to become a better person in this area of my life, to become more faithful in this part of my life. God is speaking all these things that he's wanting to work in you, but it's up to you to say, all right, God, now I want to work out what you are speaking in my life. What do you do when you do a physical workout? When you have a physical workout, are you trying to get a body you don't have? No, you're trying to change the body you do have. Some of you, I know that's a hard thing to come comprehend, you know. Well, Pastor, I don't like the body I have. You know, that's the problem right there. That's another sermon. But we're not trying to get a new body. We're trying to change the body we have. So when we work out, we're not trying to change and become something we're not. We're trying to change who we are, trying to change our physical shape and getting a better shape and lose weight. When you put together a puzzle, you have all the pieces of the puzzle given to you, but it's up to you to put that puzzle together. You see, you already have the puzzle. You're not putting the puzzle together so you can get a different puzzle. No, you're working with the pieces you already have. And that's what it means right here, the work in you, that you're working out what you've already been given. You're working out what God is already doing in your life. I'm not trying to become somebody I'm not. I'm trying to work out what God has created me to be. And so we're working out. He says to work out your salvation. The word your. How many know that's a good word, the word your? Turn to your neighbor and say your. What does your mean? Does it mean your neighbor? What's it mean? It means your. Everybody take your finger, I guess, like this, on your heart. That's your. That means me. That means me. He's saying to ourselves, we work out whose salvation? Your salvation, my salvation. I am called to work out whose salvation? My salvation. But many times we are more worried about our neighbor's salvation. We're more worried about our neighbor changing. God, you changed my spouse. God, you know this person needs you. Some of you have been praying, God, you change them. And I say to you, no, you pray, God, you change me. God, you change me. And as God changes you, your spouse will then begin to change. The people you want to influence, you pray, God, change me. Don't just pray that God changes them. You pray, God changes you. We're called to work out our salvation. He says, you work it out, your salvation. That's your assignment. That's our individual assignment. We work out our salvation. We accept personal responsibility for our growth. We got to take personal responsibility that as I grow, as I change, it becomes my responsibility through God to say, God, what are you speaking in my life? What are you telling me to do? God, what are you asking me to change? What are you asking me to do? And I begin to work through that through obedience, saying, all right, God, I'm working out the things you're speaking to me. I'm learning to become obedient to the voice that's speaking to my ear, to my heart. Lord, your spirit is directing me, and I'm learning to be obedient to that. I'm working through that. It says, working it out with fear and trembling. Don't be afraid of God. We don't have to be fearful of God because he has come to what? To bring us life and to bring it more abundantly. He says, work it out with fear and trembling, with a reverence. But it doesn't mean that we have to walk around scared. If you know, what's going to happen? You know, no, you listen, you come to God and say, God, you are asking me to do things. And if he asks me to do it, then he's going to what? He's going to empower me to do it. We've been talking about this several weeks, that God will never ask us to do anything he will not empower us to do. Well, God's asking me to change, but I don't think I can do it. Yes, you can. If God is asking you to do it, he will empower you to do it. God always empowers his people what he asks them to do. He will empower us. We are part of his family. Amen. And God wants to use you. He wants to use me. For it is God who works in you. The word works there. The word works, as we translate that in the original Greek meaning, it actually can be translated back to energizer or energy. So we get the word energizer or energy. So we can say this, that when God works, what? He will give you the energy. He will energize you to change in your life. God brings you the energy you need to see change, to work out the things in your life. That God brings you the energy, what? To change what he's speaking in your heart. So how do we do this? What's God's part and what's my part? Let's look at these two areas today. And first of all, we're going to talk about God's part in changing me. Three tools that God uses to bring change to our life. Number one, he uses the Bible. Let's read what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says. It says the whole Bible. Everybody say the whole Bible. Why is that important, Pastor? Because we have a lot of people who don't believe in the whole Bible. Oh, I believe this, but I don't believe that. I believe the New Testament, but I don't believe the Old Testament. I believe the Old Testament, I don't believe the New Testament. I believe all but this part right here. Listen, it's either all or nothing. It's either all truth or all lies. He says, it is all truth. He says, listen to what it says. For the whole Bible. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and it helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point. The Bible changes our thought, so it changes us. If you want to get serious about change, you need to get into the Word of God. If you want to get serious about God changing you, then you got to learn to open your Bible and read it. God has left us his Word to bring change in our life. He said, I've left you my Word as what? As a light unto your feet. He lights up our way. He shows us the way to go. He says, this is the roadmap for change. This is the roadmap for your life. This is the directions I've left behind you. And he has left it for us to help us work out what he's working in us. The Bible is the inspiration of God. It is useful in teaching us what is true. Some of you have asked that question. I don't know what to believe. What's true? What's not true? Open up the Word of God. He says, my word is truth. Every word is inspired and breathed by the Holy Spirit. It is truth, and it brings truth to your life. People say, I don't have any faith. I have people tell me that sometimes, Pastor, I don't have any faith. I know you're wanting God to believe me for this on my situation, but I don't have any faith. And I ask them this question. I'll say, then you're not reading the Word of God. How do you know that? Because listen to what the Scripture says right here. It says what? The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, faith comes through reading the Word of the Lord. You want to have faith in your life to build up in your life. You want to have a new faith that you're walking in. You want to have a new faith that's changing your life. You learn to get into the Word of God. Here, if you've been around any time at all, you know that we put a lot of emphasis on and put so much emphasis on reading the Word of God. We every once a year, we bring in journals, and we allow you to get those journals. And several people in the church are going through those. They have a daily discipline of reading the Word of God and writing out what God's speaking to them through the Holy Spirit. Those people are getting faith built up in their life. Those people are allowing God's Word to build their faith up. When we read God's Word, we're allowing our faith to be built up, and we're allowing what? Change to happen in our life. It's important. The Word of God is what? I've taught this before. What is the Word of God is sharper than what? Any two-edged sword. How many know that it was once written, right? The Word of God was once written. And so when I read it, and I put it alive in my life, and I speak it, what happens then? It becomes a what? A twice spoken word. It was once spoken here, that when I read it, it comes alive in my heart, and I speak it out, it becomes what? It becomes a twice spoken word. The Word of God is sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. See, it doesn't become a weapon until I use it and apply it to my life. When I read it and say, God, your word says this, then I am taking spiritual authority over things in my life. I'm taking spiritual authority over my family, over my health, over my finances, over my situation. I begin to speak the Word of God. I am taking spiritual authority. I am It becomes a two-edged sword when I speak it. Now, I've been in places where people take the Bible, and this is, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody here, but I've been in places where I was a conference speaker or a camp speaker somewhere, and they come and get you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Come to the auditorium, there's some girl down there, and she needs deliverance, and you know, and you walk in there, and they've got the Bible opened up and placed on her. And they're all just laying around, and they're praying, but nobody's doing anything. And I'm thinking, you know, just opening up the Bible and putting it on her, it doesn't become a weapon until we take and speak out what the Word of God says. I'll pick that Bible up and begin to speak the Word of God over their life, and instantly that thing will flee from that person. But many times we think just because it's here and we'll swing it around, you know, I guess it's a big weapon. No, it becomes a weapon when we read it and put it alive in our life. And when I speak it out a second time and say, God, your word says this, I am coming into agreement with what is already written. I'm saying, God, by faith, I believe what you said. And I'm speaking out the Word of God. This is how God changes me. He uses the Bible to change me. Number two, he uses his Holy Spirit to change me. God puts his Spirit in us. This is where the power comes from, the change. Romans 8:11 says, once the Spirit lives within you, he will bring to your whole being new strength and vitality. Let's read it again. Once the Spirit lives within you, he will bring to your whole being new strength and vitality. God will bring the power into your life. The Holy Spirit is God himself in spirit form. Jesus Christ is what? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ into our life, we are accepting his Spirit in our life. And he says, there's an anointing. He says, I wanted to give you an outpouring of my Spirit. He says, I wanted to baptize you in the Holy Spirit so that you can have the power to be my witness. There's a power that comes through his Holy Spirit. When we say, God, I am yielding to your Spirit. May your Spirit be empowered in my life. May your Spirit of God overflow in my life. May you baptize me with your Holy Spirit today, God. And we pray that prayer and yield to his Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring change in your life. The Holy Spirit will prompt you and will lead you. Look at what 1 Corinthians 3:18 says. As the Spirit of the Lord works with us, we'll become more and more like him. How can I become more like Jesus? As I yield my heart to the Holy Spirit. Every day when I get up and say, Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to you today. Holy Spirit, lead me today. Holy Spirit, give me direction today. Holy Spirit, I say yes to what you're telling me to do. As I every day pray those prayers and allow the Spirit of God to direct my thoughts, to direct my life, he says the Lord will what? Then the Lord works through us and in us. He works with us. We become more and more like him. God's number one purpose in your life is not to make you happy. Let me say it again. God's number one purpose in your life and my life is not to make us happy, but is what? It's to change us and to make us like him. He said, I have created man to what? He said this in Genesis. Let us make man in what? Our image. Who was he talking to? He was talking to God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He said, let's make man in our image. And so he has created us to be made in his image. And as long as we're on this earth, he is calling us to continually to change and to be formed into the image of God. That is my destiny, is to be formed in the image of God. And I will not completely get there until I make it to heaven. And so I don't care if you've been saved for one day or you've been saved for 60 years. You have not arrived. You have not achieved. There is change that should continually happen in our life, allowing the Spirit of God to form us and to mold us and to make us into his image. It's through the power of his Holy Spirit that he brings change in our life. First of all, he gives us his word. Then he brings his Spirit. But many times we don't yield to that. Many times we don't yield to his word. We don't read his word. And many times we don't yield to the Holy Spirit's work in our life. So he has to use a third tool to get our attention. And he uses what? He uses circumstances. God will use circumstances to bring change in our life. He'll bring problems, pressure, headaches, difficulties, stress. Things will happen to get our attention. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says this. To those who love God and are called to his according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. Everybody say everything. We didn't say everything. Everything. Good. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. For God chose to bear the family likeness of his son. There is nothing that will happen to you that God hasn't given permission for in your life. God must give permission for circumstances to happen in your life. Now, today, I know that some things happen that God didn't cause, but God allows things to happen. He allows us to go through circumstances, and he says this, he will work it for good. God will allow every circumstance in your life to be worked out for good if we'll allow God to work in our life. Well, Pastor, it doesn't feel like it's good right now. That's good. Because you know what? You're going to have to change some things in your life. We got to evaluate and say, God, how did I get here? How did I get into a situation? How did I find myself here in a situation? How did this problem seem to find me? And if we go back, we look and say, all right, you know what? There's things in my life I need to change because I don't like the results that I'm getting. And so if I want to change my results, I've got to change the way I'm doing things. And so I begin to change my spiritual disciplines. I find myself praying more. I find myself yielding to the Holy Spirit more. I find myself reading God's word more. Why? Because the pressure is pushing me. And I know that I must have God in my life. God must act on my behalf. And God has got you exactly where he wants you. Do you realize that? God has got you exactly where he wants you. And that's depending totally upon him. He wants circumstances, and he uses circumstances to change our life. He's more interested in our character than he is our comfort. Let me say it again. He's more interested in our character than he is our comfort. And so God is going to use circumstances to change our character, to change who we are. Look at what it says here in Hebrews 5:8. It says, Jesus learned obedience through suffering. So how do you think you're going to learn it? Wow. Hebrews 2:10 says Jesus was made perfect through his suffering. So if Jesus was made perfect, if Jesus was changed through suffering, how do you think you and I are going to learn to change? We're going to learn through some circumstances where we suffer and we don't like the things that are going on around us. Listen, we don't usually want to lose weight until the doctor says, listen, lose weight or die. Like, okay, doc, I can lose the weight. Doc says, quit smoking or you're going to die. You're like, yeah. All of a sudden, we can give up that habit we couldn't give up for years, can't we? You see, there's things that happen. Many times it takes pressure to get to us. It takes pressure in our lives to push us to do things we can't do. It takes suffering sometimes to help us do what we need to do. And that's a good thing. God uses circumstances to mold us and the people he's calling us to be. You know, and I believe that God uses circumstances more than anything else. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, he'll use his word. He'll use his Holy Spirit to change you. But how many days a week do we face circumstances in our life? How many days a week do we face circumstances in our life? Every day, don't we? Every day we have circumstances we face. And so if we will say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this circumstances? What are you trying to speak to me through this circumstances? What are you trying to speak your word today in my life? What is it I need to learn? What is it I need to learn to change in my life through these circumstances? And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change you. Because we face circumstances every day of our life. Proverbs 20:30 says this, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Sometimes it's not until we feel the pain do we change. Sometimes it's not until we feel the pain that we change our ways. That's so true, isn't it? Let's just be honest. That's the way, it's the truth right there. Not until we feel the pain of what we're doing, too many times we want to change our ways. And so when I feel the pain, I say, God, all right, you're wanting to change me. I don't like the way this feels. I don't like the circumstances I'm in. So, God, I've got to learn, let your spirit and your word guide me and teach me that I need to change some things in my life. God uses his Holy Spirit. He uses his word, but he also uses the circumstances to bring change in our life. So what's my part in changing? What's my part in changing me? Let me give you three things that you need to do to help change. Number one, I can choose what I think about. I can choose what I think about. Growth is not automatic. It doesn't just happen. Change is a matter of choice. And I can choose what I think about. Look what it says here in Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by what? Your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. You aren't what you think you are, but you are what you think. You aren't what you think you are, but you are what you think. Our thoughts control our lives. The battle is right here. The change starts right here. What is my part? I can choose to change the way I think. I can choose to change. Look what Ephesians 4:23 says. Your mind must be renewed by the spirit of revolution so that you can put on a new self that's been created in God's way. Change always begins with new thinking. The Bible word for change is the word repentance. The word repentance is where we get the word change in the way we think, change in the way we live. It's a new attitude. When I repented before God and I asked him to be Lord of my life, I didn't say, all right, I'm a Christian, I'll walk away. But I began to change the way I thought about things. I began to change the way I approached things in my life. There was a new mindset I had to the things I used to do. Some things in my life that I used to do and say, you know what, I can't always do those things. I got to begin to change some areas of my life. I got to quit doing some things. And I began to stop. And in my mind, I began to say, you know what, I'm going to think on the things of God. Repentance starts in the mind, in the heart. It says this, I'm changing the way I think. And change happens right here. It starts right here. My part is changing the way I think. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are changed. We are transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to be changed, start with renewing of your mind. Psychologists have discovered this for the last 2,000 years, that your mind controls your outlook, controls everything. The other day I was reading about this show called on Oprah. They had a big thing about The Secret. Maybe some of you have heard about this, and this is this new book out called The Secret. I can speak secret. We're going to tell you the secret to happiness. And they were talking about Oprah had never, her website almost crashed. They had so many millions of people going after the show, clicking on her website, trying to find information about this book, about the secret to happiness, the secret to life. You know what the secret was? The secret was begin to think on good things. You can control the way you think. You can control. And I'm like, it's not a secret. God revealed that to us over 2,000 years ago. That's not a secret. Christians should have known this for a long time. We know that God changes us in our mind. We're changed through the renewing of our mind. You know, I determine how I discovered that the way I think determines how I feel. The way I feel determines the way I act. So when we want to change behavior modification, I don't try to change the way I act. I change the way I think. So if we're trying to change behavior in our life, we don't try to change the way we act. We change, first of all, the way we think. If we're in a speedboat today and we're out on the lake and we're going, and I set that speedboat on automatic pilot, I say, all right, you're going due east. And I set that speedboat on automatic pilot, and it's going. If I get up there and I try to turn that wheel, what's going to happen? I'm going to fight that wheel. I'm going to turn. I'm going to pull that boat around, You know, I can forcibly make that boat turn around. You know that? I can strain and fight that automatic pilot system, and I can turn that boat around, and that boat will slowly turn around and begin to go to the opposite direction. But the minute I let go of that wheel, what's going to happen? The automatic pilot's going to kick in, and it's going to go right back to where it was going. See, for many of us, we got to change the automatic pilot in our mind. We got to let God begin to change and renew our mind. Let me ask you today, what is your automatic pilot? Finish a sentence in your life. It's just like me to be. What is it? Finish that sentence in your mind. It's just like me to be. That's the automatic pilot in your life. And you say, you know what? I got to learn to change right here and renew my mind. I got to learn to change my automatic pilot. I got to begin to think on pure thoughts, the things of the Lord. Write some of your scriptures down. I want you to go back and read them this week as you study. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who meditates on God's word. Blessed is the man."